We're going to call our city council meeting to order, and we will begin with a pledge of allegiance. I wonder if I could call upon Chief Haley once again to lead the pledge. Thank you. Roll call, please.
Councilmember Borbo.
Here.
Councilmember Moreno.
Here.
Councilmember Sturdivant.
Here.
Mayor Pro Tem Fonsi.
Here.
Mayor O'Malley.
Here.
All present.
Thank you. First item is the approval of the agenda, and with that we'll waive the reading in full of all ordinances appearing on this agenda, and the titles of the ordinances will be read aloud by the city clerk at the first reading after the motion and before the city council votes.
Do I have approval?
Second.
I have a motion by Mayor Pro Tem Fonsi, seconded by Councilman Sturdivant. Roll call, please.
Councilmember Sturdivant?
Yes.
Councilmember Borbo?
Yes.
Councilmember Moreno?
Yes, ma'am.
Mayor Pro Tem Fonsi?
Yes.
Mayor O'Malley?
Yes.
5-0, motion passes.
Thank you. We're going to begin with a presentation by the SLOCOG organization on SB1, and it's my pleasure to introduce Rhonda Carley, the executive director, who has served SLOCOG for well over 30 years. Unfortunately, there won't be many more, as he has announced his retirement come 2018. And so that is an extremely hard act to follow, is probably very well recognized. I know Jordan Cunningham at one of our countywide mayor's meetings mentioned that he was awed at how much Ron is respected up in the legislature and with Caltrans. So, I mean, that's pretty good to have Ron on our side, and as a city of Atascadero resident, we are very pleased for your many years of service. I'm sure we'll have an opportunity to talk about that more at some future point. But welcome, and you have a presentation for us.
Well, thank you very much, Mayor O'Malley. I really appreciate it, board and council members. I appreciate the introduction. I'm wowed by it. I really enjoy what we do. We, as an agency, serving all of you and trying to make our entire region a better place to live. Among the various things we do also is attract legislation. So we've been tracking legislation that you've been hearing more about, the gas tax, the car tax. Well, it's really reflected in Senate Bill 1. So I've been going to each of the city councils and making presentations, and or anyone else that has an interest of, what does this mean to our region? So first off, why did it pass? 2 years ago, studies by Caltrans in all the cities and all the counties showed a deficit to maintain our system of $14 billion a year. California just simply has been maintaining our infrastructure. The question is to why. The gas tax has been raised. It's a per gallonage tax. Cars are more fuel efficient. Electric cars don't pay anything. And it has been raised since 1993. So things have changed a little bit since 1993. And the revenue has declined tremendously, to the point where California had reductions again, deficits, $14 billion a year, Atascadero, $11 million a year, our entire county, $25 million a year. So the legislature addressed this issue. They attempted to in a first bill. It failed. They tried again last year to address some of the shortcomings that they heard during the legislative session. Let's make it a little more robust. That was enacted and signed by the governor in April of last year. It brings in about $5 billion a year to cities and counties and Caltrans, state agencies. It provides about 80% of the money goes to fix it first, maintenance and rehabilitation of highways, streets and roads, culverts and bridges. This also augments a lot of the program's funding we have, and I'll walk through that a little bit more. But a real key issue that came out of this legislation in the process of adopting the legislation was an accountability issue for government. Are we spending the money as wisely and as effectively as we can? So there's a whole series of accountability measures, streamlining measures included in this act. And in addition, what was heard loud and clear from the legislature is the public doesn't trust them. You give us some money, you automatically take it and use it for something else. So included with Senate Bill 1 was a companion measure, ACA 5. ACA 5 will be on the ballot for the voters to act on. That would be a constitutional amendment that would prohibit the future legislature from redirecting any of these funds in the future. So that's in response to a lot of public comments during that process. So this is the various revenue sources, about six different revenue sources, gas tax, a diesel tax, excise tax, zero emission vehicle fee. And you'll see at the very bottom a loan repayment. In the middle of the recession, California borrowed $4 billion, $2 billion from cities and counties, $2 billion from Caltrans. With this measure, this is the last of that measure, $706 million to cities and counties, $706 million back to Caltrans. So that debt is now paid off. This gives you a source of how the money is being used and how much money is generated from each revenue source, predominantly the gas tax and what's called a translation impact fee. What's really important is, you know, what's the uses of this funds? The original legislation was fix Caltrans highways. Cities and counties says, hey, this isn't enough. So it was modified to also provide a funding source for cities and counties. This is the prime funding source. It raises about $5 billion a year. Local streets and roads gets $1.5 billion. State highway maintenance, $1.5 billion. Public transit, $7.5 billion, so that's $750 million. Bridges and culverts, $4 billion, which is $400 million a year. Of importance, I've identified in green are what's important to us, the local streets and roads, congested corridor programs like 101. We have an opportunity to try and secure funding to address congestion on 101. We are starting right now, our agency, in trying to get improvements down the Shell Beach corridor. It'll be a grant program. Active transportation program. This supplements the state funding that's gone to active transportation. We were able to secure funding under this program for the Tascadero-Templeton connector. That will now occur. It is now fully funded. This also provides a fund source for improvements the city of Atascadero has been long seeking, Highway 41. That would provide, again, this type of funding. State Transportation Improvement Program, or the highway funds, you've heard me a year and a half, 2 years ago now almost, talking about our money for highway improvements has basically completely gone away, and we started advocating for a local measure. Will this provide some funding going back and provide stability in the funding and a CPI that will increase the fund? So we're able to once again have a highway program, not as robust as possible, but a highway program. This is some of the immediate impacts. Highway maintenance and rehabilitation, $15 billion over 10 years to Caltrans. Caltrans has just advanced $100 million of projects in our county for rehabilitation, 101, 227, almost all the highways throughout the entire county. You've heard in the paper about the Wellsona 101 interchange or undercrossing. There's been a series of accidents. Caltrans is able to secure funding through this program. The ITIP, Statewide Transportation Improvement Program, this is Caltrans' competitive money for highway improvements. They, being District 5 in our agency, Assemblyman Cunningham, Senator Monning, has been successful. So far, the Caltrans headquarters, is programming $197 million on Highway 46, all the way out to the Y and past the Y for improvements. We also secured $12.5 million for a rail layover facility in the city of San Luis Obispo that would allow a train to go north up to San Francisco. So that would be a big change. The State Transportation Improvement Program is our highway program. These are some of the projects that we funded this cycle just last Wednesday before our board. And these are approved. The state has no opportunity. They can either accept or reject. They cannot modify. So we have Pismo congestion relief that will go towards a grant, Briscoe Road Interchange, Prado Road Interchange in San Luis Obispo, 46 Union. So in your area, you still have the 101 Del Rio that's still kind of working its way through the process. Now at least there will be an opportunity to look at some funding in the future. Transit and rail funding, active transportation, as I mentioned, the congested corridors is program, $250 million a year for congested corridors. We're looking at specifically, again, Shell Beach area, Highway 46, Union Road, up in Paso Robles area. And I would see it start applying on 101 through this whole corridor as well. And then street and road maintenance, $10 million more to local jurisdictions. This is the funding that will now come to formula to all the member jurisdictions. All the city money is allocated under agreement with the League of California Cities. The local money is 50-50, county, 50% cities. Under the cities, it's a population formula. So you see in this case, TASR will receive about $565,000 by formula. San Luis Obispo City, $845,000. SLO County, the counties is allocated 50% population in lane miles. We have a lot of lane miles in our county, so they get a big chunk, $7.1 million. So sum total, $10 million, increasing to about $15 million in 10 years. So the local street and road program, the funding starts coming in mid-January. The eligible projects are pretty wide open. It's maintenance and rehab, safety projects, complete street elements like on Highway 1 or El Camino Real, traffic control devices. You can also use the funds to match our funds or state funds. There's now new requirements. This is the accountability provisions, annual reporting, project schedules, a maintenance of effort, the average of three fiscal years, and the potential for audits if the state feels there's some concern in the misuse of funds. So that kind of concludes. I just wanted to again give you a summary of the key aspects of this bill and open it up to any questions that you might have.
Thank you, Ron. Why don't you give a little idea of about the lawsuit that's taking place and what could happen if this is successfully challenged, SB 1?
So if it's not a lawsuit, actually, it's a repeal.
Thank you.
You might have seen people collecting signatures in various places. And it's a signatures to repeal SB 1. And all the provisions with SB 1, about nine different fund sources. They are required to have, they're asking for a constitutional amendment to repeal and require a vote of the public for a majority vote for any future gas tax increases or car tax increases. So that's a major change in what we've had today. The net result of that in our county, we get $15 million a year of formula money. $10.5 million for street and road maintenance, $2.5 million for transit, and the other $2 million or more that comes to our agency for highway improvements, match with some stability of funds. Then Caltrans's ability to compete for funding, which they have, they've got $197 million on Highway 46. If this measure died, probably the first thing that would go is that $197 million. It would also be the $10 million for local jurisdictions, $1.5 million for transit. And we would be exceptionally curtailed in terms of our funding, in terms of instead of looking at improvements throughout the county, we'd be probably coming to our board saying we can fund one or two interchanges in the next 10 years or congestion southbound 101 in Pismo Beach in 15 years. What would you like to do? And there's going to be some very, very difficult policy decisions when that time comes, if that happens.
Thank you. Do we have other council questions? Mayor Pro Tem Fonzi.
I know this is a little off topic, but you mentioned that there was an ABA 5?
ACA 5, Assembly Constitutional Amendment 5.
I hadn't heard about that one. I had heard about SB 1, of course, and is this for all bills coming forward, that money that is allocated has to go for what it says it should go for, or is this just pertaining to SB 1?
This pertains specifically to SB 1. It's a constitutional amendment that was going before the voters in June, and all polls indicate it's going to pass, and it would prevent the any future legislature from diverting any of these funds from the purposes set forth in SB 1. So they could not use it for general fund purposes or anything else, unless it was amended again by a constitutional change.
Thank you.
Thank you. Councilmember Burbeau.
Yes, thank you. If sufficient signatures are gathered to force a ballot, a vote on repeal of SB 1, would that be on, do you know if that would be on the June 18 ballot or the November 18 ballot?
As I believe it, it'd be in the November ballot.
Okay.
But I haven't verified that. I think it's November.
Got it. Okay. And then secondly, your slides and what I've read all refer to that raise this much money over a 10-year period. Is that just for projection purposes, or these the new taxes that are part of SB 1, they don't sunset after 10 years, do they?
They do not sunset.
Okay.
So it goes on for this point on, and every single program except one has a cost escalation provision based upon CPI. The one is electric vehicles, and it's a flat fee of $100 for an electric vehicle as a registration fee.
Got it.
One time.
Okay. And then you specifically mentioned something of great interest to us, which is our Del Rio interchange improvements, which were not listed specifically on the slide you had there. What category would they fall under? And other than just, you know, generally having more money always improves your chances of getting some of it, but what category does that fall under?
It would be under the State Transportation Improvement Program.
Okay.
Our funding 2 years ago was zero. Previously it was $15 million a year matched with Caltrans money, so $30 million went to zero. That's why we pursued a measure. And now it's back up to about $6 to $7 million every year, so about $14 million. So that then would give an opportunity to fund under this program. If SB 1 stays, then it takes the pressure off as I think we proceed on grants for 46 and Highway 101 congestion relief would then allow our money to go towards interchange improvements, matching projects.
And lastly, since the passage of SB 1 and the very close defeat of Measure J in this county, but because of the passage of SB 1, I assume that SLOCOG does not have any intention of pursuing a measure similar to J in the future.
Our board adopted a position with a stakeholder group on our regional transportation plan to continue to investigate supplemental funding.
Okay.
This provides about $12 million into our county. Measure J would have brought $25 million into the county. This provides about one half of the street and road maintenance needs countywide. So the need is still there. Even with this, a lot of the more local interchanges, like most of them here in Atascadero, would be difficult to fund or maybe problematic. I would say of the 7 or 8 interchanges you have kind of lining up for some kind of improvement, the biggest is probably Del Rio that's got the furthest along, because it has local match money. Without local match money, I don't believe most of those projects could continue. Okay. So Prado Road Interchange came in San Luis Obispo with 70% local match. They've asked 30% from us. Okay. That'd be difficult on Curbarell or Santa Rosa here.
Okay. Thank you.
Councilwoman Moreno.
Ron, with the interchange improvements, so if you've got local money, then you also would have something from SLOCOG, like the STIP money. Is there also a Caltrans match? I mean, these are state highways that we're talking about, whether it's Del Rio or Prado or wherever.
Not directly. Caltrans funding goes to maintenance and rehab and rural roads like Highway 46. There is no funding in the corridor in most of the other regions of the state. There's one exception. We and a lot of other smaller counties were successful in getting a state-local partnership project in that matches developer fees and sales tax revenue. So there's two provisions of that. If you're a self-help county where you've raised your sales tax, you can get matching state funds. But there's also provision CSAC and the League advocated for including developer fees. So in the case of Del Rio, for instance, that would be another fund source that comes through this measure that I forgot to mention.
So then Caltrans would.
It wouldn't be Caltrans. It would be coming from the state.
The STIP.
Okay. It would be the state. It would be the STIP.
Okay.
And we would then be pursuing it with the affected jurisdiction to apply for those state local partnership funding.
Okay. Okay.
If we were a sales tax county, then we would have an opportunity for even more.
Right. Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Other council questions? And since we do have you here, I will open up the public. If a member of the public has a question for you while you're here, we would take that as well. Seeing no one jogging forward, we'll close that. And thank you, Ron.
Thank you.
And I'll see you tomorrow for the executive committee meeting. Next item is our consent calendar. Items considered to be routine in nature, not requiring a lot of discussion or going through the report, unless a member of the council would like to pull it for further discussion, or a member of the public would like to hear a little bit more about any of these items. Any member of the council wishing to pull a consent calendar item? And any members of the public? Seeing none, I would entertain a motion on the consent calendar.
Move approval of the consent calendar.
I'll second.
I have a motion by Councilwoman Moreno, seconded by Councilmember Bourbeau. Roll call, please.
Councilmember Moreno?
Yes, ma'am.
Councilmember Bourbeau?
Yes.
Councilmember Sturtevant?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Fonzie?
Yes.
Mayor O'Malley?
Yes.
Motion passes.
Thank you. Next item, updates from the city manager.
Thank you, Mayor and council members. The first item I want to talk to you about was one of the biggest news items we had last week about all of the turtles and tortoises in our basement. When the Thomas Fire in Ventura County threatened the Turtle Conservancy facility down in Ojai, about 600 or so very rare and endangered tortoises and turtles from over 30 species had to be very quickly evacuated out of harm's way, including a nearly 500-pound Galapagos turtle. Dr. Paul Gibbons from the Conservancy and our Zoo Director Alan Baker have a long friendship based on their mutual interest in protecting and preserving all species of turtles and tortoises. When confronted with his turtle evac emergency, Dr. Gibbons reached out to our Zoo Director Alan. However, 600 turtles and tortoises could not be taken to our zoo due to a lack of temperature-controlled space and quarantining issues. So with some floor space available in the basement, it seemed to be the perfect emergency evacuation location to house them all temporarily. A caravan of trucks was loaded up at the Conservancy in Ojai and made their way here last week. Some of the more delicate species that preferred warmer temperatures were even relocated up to some of the open office space up on the third floor. So we had turtles stashed just about everywhere. Many of our staff members weren't even aware of the visitors because we did try and stash them. We tried to keep the news under wraps as much as possible while our guests were here, out of concern for the health and safety of these very special, rare, and endangered animals. Now that the imminent fire danger to the Conservancy facility has passed, the turtles and tortoises have all gone back home. They were all loaded up back up on the truck Saturday afternoon, and we were very proud to be able to assist even a little bit in the rescue efforts and to provide a temporary home to the turtles. So thank you. There was a lot of zoo staff and public works staff and others, Lisa from our department and others who helped make this happen. So.
And you might mention, too, it was not just because we have this beautiful location for them to visit that our zookeeper is considered one of the national, if not international, experts in the area of turtles and tortoises, and being one of the few accredited zoos in the nation, this was a pretty ideal fit for the Conservancy.
Absolutely. Our zoo director and even our Charles Paddock Zoo does a lot towards the conservation of turtles. As you guys have learned over the years, that a lot of turtles are very endangered, particularly Southeast Asian turtles, and we're doing our part to make sure that these species survive both here at the Charles Paddock Zoo and with the hope to eventually get them back into the wild once they have some protected habitat.
And I don't think I've seen that big of a smile on our zoo director before either. I think he was probably quite pleased to have this responsibility.
Yes. It was a great partnership, again, between the Conservancy. We had Conservancy personnel staying here in Atascadero, taking care of the turtles during the day, along with our zookeepers. Great, great partnership. Worked out well. We were glad we could help.
Good.
while the turtles were in the basement, we actually had quite a few events, too. Prior to them coming, we had a light up the downtown. We had a really strong attendance at the event this year. The Art and Wine Tour ticket sales were up by over 50% from last year. We had double the number of downtown merchants who participated this time. We also had lots of activity in and around City Hall with our visitors enjoying hot chocolate, candy canes, and visits with Santa. We also had hay rides and antique fire truck rides, both very popular. So we estimate the number of people visiting with Santa was up by over 20% from the previous year. And I think, actually, if you count all of the people attending, we probably almost doubled our previous year. Holiday walk around the lake. This event brought in over 2,000 people to the zoo, which is an increase of 25% over last year's attendance. We had over 1,000 cups of hot cider that were served to visitors at our booth at the lake, and indicating an increase in holiday walkers this year by nearly 20%. Winter Wonderland, so that was last Friday, we estimate the Winter Wonderland had well over 10,000 people in attendance this year, and more than 15% more kids visited Santa this year. It was a great event, very well attended. It was a beautiful night, so we appreciate that. We also have an anniversary this week. Last night, we kicked off a week-long anniversary celebration of the Colony Park Community Center with refreshments, facility tours, games, and a program that brought together many of the folks who helped make it all happen in the first place to remember what had been accomplished over the past 10 years. The doors of our Colony Park Community Center were first opened to the public in December of 2007. The facility is equipped with a full-size gymnasium, a dance room, an art room, a conference room, plus a teen center and the cafe. The center was designed and programmed to benefit all members of the community, and the number of available programs and activities have grown tremendously through the last 10 years. I know that the mayors and council members went through just a sprinkling of the number of activities there at the community center, and it is always amazing every time I go by, and I don't go by nearly often enough, how much is actually going on there. Last night we had several basketball teams practicing, we had taekwondo practice, we had yoga going on with one room, the Orange Dog Cafe was open, and other things. And this was just a regular night that didn't have anything to do with the anniversary. So the center offers adult and youth sports leagues, art and dance classes, senior activities, classes, and so much more. For new students, this entire week will be filled with lots of free classes and activities, including line dancing, gymnastics, badminton, arts and crafts classes, yoga, pickleball, clogging, Zumba, and much more. Stop by the community center, find out about what activities are going on there and what free activities you can participate in this week. And if you participate in one of the free activities, you will also get a bag with the rec center on it celebrating the anniversary. So for more information, contact the community center at 470-3360. Upcoming events, we have one more city-sponsored holiday event scheduled for this month, and that's Holiday Magic at the Charles Paddock Zoo. It's going to be this Saturday, December 16th, from 10 to 1 p.m., and everyone can experience the magic of the holiday season as our zookeepers step in as Santa elves to prepare and deliver gifts to the animals. Santa will be there, too. We've been really busy keeping Santa and Mrs. Claus very busy this month with all our events. But after Holiday Magic, they need to go back to taking care of business at the North Pole. So this will be the last chance to see them at a city event this year until they come back next year. Holiday Magic is a great event. Again, they give presents to the animal, kind of add some enrichment to the animals, extra enrichment. It's a lot of fun. If you can make it out for any of that period, I highly encourage it. And then my favorite event of the year is the third annual Tamale Festival, and that's going to be on Saturday, January 20th from 11 to 4 p.m. Mark down your calendars. It is in the downtown and the Sunken Garden, and this year the event will have longer hours and even more tamales. Features include homemade tamales from a wide variety of tamale vendors, best tamale contest, lots of music, the dancing horses, and a variety of great entertainment with plenty of activities for the kids. This event does go forward, rain or shine, and it is free to attend and enjoy all the great entertainment, but make sure to bring your wallets for those scrumptious tamales. Both East Mall and West Mall last year were lined with tamale vendors. We had plenty of tamales last year, sold a lot. I think several council members were judges, and I think you had to taste, I think, over 120 tamales or something like that. So it's a great event. I think the chief mentioned how much I was his favorite boss on several occasions as he was tasting all of the tamales because I'd selected him to be on the panel. So anyway, with that, I'd be happy to answer any questions you may have.
Well, I just want to make sure that we are going to be judging again that tamale festival. Of course, I expect to be joined by the two chiefs, too. We'll see.
Absolutely.
In case there's some hot tamales, we should have the fire chief there. Very good. Questions from the council? Well, thank you very much for that report. Next item is community forum, which is an opportunity for any of you to speak to all of us on any topic not on the agenda, which pretty much covers anything possible on tonight's agenda. And we just ask that you direct your comments to us. And it has to be something that's under our jurisdiction, like errors you find on the website or something like that. Welcome.
Thank you. Hi, I'm Susan Funk from Atascadero. And I want to continue a conversation that we started last week, or last meeting, with regard to internet access at selected public parks here in Atascadero. And concern was raised by the council that we don't want to have kids showing up at our parks and burying themselves in World of Warcraft on their telephones, and I totally agree. I do want to suggest, though, that there's another consideration. And particularly as we think about the new Joy Park, which will in particular be an attraction for people coming from communities outside of Atascadero, as well as from all parts of our local community. And that's that while people are here, we want them to plug into Atascadero. When they go to the Lake Park, or especially to the new Joy Park when that's built, most people won't drive by many of the local businesses that are available to serve them. They can't see those businesses from the park. But if we have internet access, a parent whose kid is at this park having an incredible time can post a live video on Facebook, and maybe a friend elsewhere in the community will see that and come by and share the experience. They can look up, where can we go for coffee or cookies afterwards? Can we get yogurt or ice cream? What restaurants are around? And with internet access, you can identify the business, you can identify what they might have, find out how to contact them. And so a parent who's there, you know, having had a wonderful day, can find out, can the A-Town Diner accommodate a family with two kids in wheelchairs? So that before they go to the business, they know whether the business can serve the particular needs of their family or not. That's a way, for a very small investment of taxpayer dollars, that we can energize our local business community. And it doesn't take too many more people coming in and spending more money in Atascadero and enjoying more of what this community offers to pay back the very small investment to make that internet access possible. So I would encourage the council to look at that in the context of upgrades that are happening with the new park and electrical upgrades at the lake park. And maybe, I don't know about the golf course, but that's another one where it's a public asset that brings people from around the area, and encourage folks to plug into our community. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other speakers? Welcome.
Ron DeCarli, 9270 Barranco Road, here in Atascadero. normally don't say that, so that's kind of interesting for me. I wanted to talk about two brief things. One, I wanted to compliment the council and the staff for your new trail, the Creekside Trail, the bridge, the parking lot. I think that's done a lot to really connect the mall to the Colony Square area. It's all well lit. You feel safe now when you walk through that. I think it's going to help transform this downtown. I think you've just done a phenomenal job. These are the kinds of things I always go to when I go visit places, too. And I think you've done a really good job here, and I'm really proud to see that accomplished and proud that I'm part of it. The other thing I wanted to compliment the city and staff and also the Atascadero Land Preservation Society, and that's for the Three Bridges Trail and for the city helping to support that with a staging area. I attended some of those early meetings, and I listened to a lot, and I was embarrassed, frankly, by a lot of the adjacent landowners that this is going to be a disaster. We're going to have fires. We're going to have break-ins. We're going to have litter all over. And lo and behold, it got built, and it's a real asset. Over Thanksgiving holidays, I hike it often. Over Thanksgiving holidays, I walked to the top. It's 3.9 miles total. Like, we counted 221 people. And the concern that was raised is all those kind of people. Those kind of people were all family members and little kids of all ages and their dogs, all on leashes. I was really impressed. And it just shows a need for that kind of facility. And I also wanted to compliment public works staff. One of the points that I raised early on, there was concerns about cars racing through our meandering neighborhood to get to it. And there was a lot of concerns by a number of residents, and I had suggested that the city investigating putting stripes down the center of the lanes in this rural area and or bots dots. And the city did it on the turns, and my observations is slow traffic down, and gee whiz, people are kind of staying now on that side of the lane, where before they were always taken wide very often and very often going fast. And just that little bit of paint, and it might be something the city wants to investigate for some of our other hilly terrains where you do have that. So again, my compliments very much to the city on both those projects and your staff. You did a phenomenal job. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other member of the public? Seeing none, come forward. We'll close public comment, bring it back to the council, and thank you for recognizing some of the work that's been ongoing, and I think especially some of the connectivity in the downtown, sharing parking because of that bridge. I was surprised how much use it got put to work right away, and as we know, it is a bridge to everywhere with our regional transit center right there. Great to see that new boutique hotel coming in with a restaurant. That's moving ahead, and with interest in the Creekside building, I think that could be a very good asset development. And also, we'll be talking more about other economic incentives and things for connectivity in the area of internet, certainly at our strategic planning. And we've had a number of strategic partnership discussions with private sector that may well participate in such things. And of course, I think that's always better to involve the business community in such decisions. Of course, we have our Visit Atascadero and other parallel organizations working on these same things, and we very much appreciate our partners with the Economic Vitality Corporation, Visit Atascadero, Chamber of Commerce, many folks working on those very things. So we should have that, make sure, I think we will have some discussion on some of these topics that our strategic planning might be good for the public to, we need to update them now and then of the many things that are being worked on all of the time. Well, with that, we'll conclude our community forum, move on to the one and only public hearing, the 2018 Community Development Block Grant. Now, I guess the disappointing thing is these funds have shrunk so much over time, there hasn't been a lot of applicants. We often have some more money and many applicants, and so in some ways, it's sad to see not as much to offer in our community from these federal block grants coming in. However, it does make the decision a little easier in that we pretty much have requests pretty much matching the amount we have. So I'm going to turn it over to our Let's see, who is our public works staff are making the presentation? Mr. Rick DeBar, Nick DeBar. And first, let's begin. I don't believe we've had any ex parte communications on any of items related to this, but I'll just check in, seeing no one offering any comment on that. So,
well, I don't know. It may not be relevant because I had conversations with Loaves and Fishes, and they elected not to apply this year.
So that won't affect your decision on anyone we're voting on? And you won't be so mad they didn't apply, you're going to vote against ECHO or anything like that. Okay. Very good. We're going to turn it over to Mr. DeBar.
Thank you, Mayor O'Malley. Ms. Director Dunsmore likes to refer to these as a public works block grants, PWDGs, but that's another story.
Another story.
So, Community Development Block Grants, CDBG, as Mayor O'Malley alluded to, these funds have shrunk over the past years. They are funded by the Department of Housing and Urban Development. We also, it's an urban county program is what they call it, and other local agencies in SLO County participate in this. They all get, you know, formulatory allocation, and the county now does a lot of the administration and reporting and solicitation for these applications and public hearings. So we have less of a role in it than we used to, which makes some help to staff, but we have this role where we get solicit applications and then make funding recommendations for those applications. A couple of things. It's an annual grant program, must meet one of three criteria. Needs to benefit low to moderate income persons, aid in the prevention or elimination of blight, or address urgent needs that pose a serious and immediate threat to the health or welfare of the community. So this year, there's an estimated $141,115 available. Plus, as last year, we borrowed money that of unspent fund balance from various projects from about, you know, period of about 5 years to Morro Bay, so they could complete a project there, and those funds were about $236,000 that we loaned to them. I shouldn't say borrow, but loaned. It's my Midwestern, you know, lingo coming out as borrow, but loaned to Morro Bay. So they're going to be paying us back over the course of 3 to 4 years, that amount as that they get. They get less than we do. They get, this year, it's about $66,797. So the total available is $207,912. That's an estimate. Final amount will be set by HUD in early 2018, at which time we'll bring this item back for final recommendations to City Council, and that'll probably be in the March timeframe. Final awards are also usually proportionate to what the draft recommendations are. So a couple of limitations with the funding is that there's three categories. There's administration that needs to, can't exceed 20% of the allocation. The county likes to take 13% off the top for those activities that they provide to the other cities, with the remaining 7% going to the city for administration reporting and other things. 15% of the allocation maximum as towards public services. Public services are a wide range of public activities, including but not limited to employment services, crime prevention, child care, health services, substance abuse services, fair housing counseling, recreational services, those types of things. We actually got two applications this year under that category, but that is capped at a maximum 15%, so there's an estimated $21,167 available for that. And then the other category is public facilities, which gets about 65% of that, so this would be any activities related to getting real property, including the acquisition, construction, rehabilitation, or installation of public improvements. So that's usually translates to what the city's been using that money for in the past has been for accessibility improvements throughout town. So here's a table of a summary of the applications received. We had one application for the public facilities, City of Atascadero. Again, that accessibility and barrier removal project. This project that was applied for was for the traffic way in El Camino corridor, and primarily the northwest corner there, next to the automotive property there and the auto repair shop. Last year, this was applied to be funded as well. We did have to do another project over on the mall to accommodate one of the complaints we received. So that project, I'm happy to report, is complete, and our compliance for that is done as well. This project is actually $321,000, so we don't have enough money in this cycle to fund it, but moving ahead, we'll look to have additional funds allocated if the council decides this is a worthwhile project to pursue. The other two applications we received, one was for ECHO for operational expenses for $12,000. These applications are in your packet. And the City of Atascadero for youth activity scholarships at $10,000. As I mentioned before, there's $21,000, $167 that are estimated to be available for this. So it's just slightly over what's available. And then the administration costs there are listed as well. So the Atascadero administration cost of 7%, and then the county. And then also there, that bottom one, the Morro Bay repayment. Discussions with the county is they're seeking an administration cost for some of that repayment dollars. So city manager and public works had a discussion with the county regarding this. And we're working through those agreements with that we had between the three parties. So the total applications received $208,745, and estimated to be available is just slightly under that at $207,912. So the recommendation tonight is to develop and adopt draft funding recommendations for the 2018 CDBG funds. And as years passed, Director Engel will have a spreadsheet that we can work through and have an interactive interaction between the council members as to, you know, where you want to see these funds to go to. So with that, I can take any questions.
Council questions. First, Councilwoman Moreno, followed by Mayor Pro Tem Fonzi.
Thank you for that report, Director. You alluded to it, but the program costs, the county program costs for the Morro Bay borrowing. I've been concerned about that because I feel like when we loaned it, the county wasn't getting money. Now we're getting it back and we're having to pay the fee. But if Morro Bay were using their funds when they had them available, they would be paying the fee from their funds. So is that what we're talking about, trying to straighten that out and see who really is responsible for that portion?
Yes, we had a conversation with some of the administrators of the program at the county today, indicating just what you had, that at the time we entered into this agreement, it was assumed we lent the funds to the city of Morro Bay with no interest for them to use for their program, and we would get our full reimbursement back. The county was not charging admin at that time. There are actually two arguments. The first is that this is old money, and so the county should not be receiving admin on this money at all. And the other argument is that if they do feel that the agreement requires them to charge admin, that should be out of the City of Morro Bay's portion rather than the City of Atascadero's. They did agree to run it by their county council. We will be working through the process. I did let county staff know that council was not happy with this, that they feel that they are being penalized for helping out a neighbor, and that's not good policy. So we will see where that goes.
Okay, thank you. And actually, I have this question of Councilmember Borbeau, if that's okay. My assumption is that Loaves and Fishes didn't apply this year because last year they had said that the administration of it cost them more than it was worth to actually get the funds. Is that...
Yes, in the discussion I had with them, that's exactly the case. They opted not to apply because the time burden, the administrative cost of complying with all of the paperwork and everything, they felt was not worth it for the amount they received. So I think that's a shame, you know, that's the case that we have. And I think that's happening, you know, elsewhere in the county and the country that, you know, you're killing small charities with paperwork. Yeah. It does make our decision easier, but I think it's a shame. Yeah.
And it might be good for the public to know if you're inclined to, you know, donate to Loaves and Fishes, if that's one of the, you know, causes that you're interested in, knowing that a little bit of their funding they're not going to be getting this year because of that. Just keep that in mind.
Thank you.
Thank you. Mayor Pro Tem Fonzie, followed by Councilmember Borbeau.
Thank you. Good report. I just wondered if we had any information on whether other cities are giving money to ECHO as well, or is this just the information we have at hand?
Sure. This is the information we have tonight. In the past, we've kind of gotten a heads up about what other cities might be doing. We didn't have any reports tonight on that, so I apologize for not having that.
Thank you.
Councilmember Borbeau.
Yes, I believe in the application note does indicate who ECHO has asked for money from. So I believe there's some indication there who they might get money from. I know they also receive CDBG money because I sat as part of the Homeless Services Oversight Council on CDBG grant recommendations there, and they should be getting some through that avenue as well. My question for staff was, you mentioned regarding to the accessibility and barrier removal project that it's a multi-year thing that we, because this is not sufficient money in and of itself to complete the project. Did you mention that we had also put some money towards this last year? I know we had discussed it, but I thought we moved it to the crossing project over on near the pedestrian tunnel.
Last year, I'm trying to look for that report. Sorry. We spent money last year, or this past year, on the Atascadero Mall. And that initially was, we just defined what that project was. It was on the same corridor for the previous funding that we had there. And that would be the 2016 funding. Because it's always delaying by a year, it seems like. So the 2016 funding was for Atascadero Mall. And it was going to be at the west end of the mall near the high school entrance. But then we kind of redefined what that project was after we had the complaint and did work in the same general corridor on the north side across the street from ABC and then on the east end by the tunnel. So we were able to still use that money for that project. But you're right. Councilmember proposed last year we did allocate money for the traffic way El Camino project. So that was a correct, my mistake on that.
Right. What I was trying to understand though is in here it, you know, mentions needing more money next year and then beginning construction I think in November of 18, completing it sometime in 19. There's not a problem of just kind of accepting this money and then just holding it until we get the subsequent year's money? Or do we need to begin the work in a two-phase process?
The county doesn't really have guidelines for that. They do like to see the money expended, so what we were proposing to do is start design this spring once the final allocations come in and then kind of get a better cost estimate and see if we need money next year to be able to put towards this project. So we'll have a much better estimate once we get through the final design process. And I think we're close right now, but we might be just a hair bit short, and we don't really want to bid that project out until we know we have fully allocated.
But it's not a problem to wait, to basically hold a big chunk of this money until you get the subsequent year's money.
There's no problem doing that.
Okay. Thank you. My other question's already been asked.
Yes, we have crossed fiscal boundaries in the past and on done multi-year projects, and sometimes that is needed. We've also had partnerships with other cities before as well, and that's been appreciated when we've helped with railroad projects with City of Paso Robles and this with Morro Bay, and it's been very reciprocal. I think the cities do a pretty good job of working together, and it is beneficial. Any other council questions on that item? If not, I'm going to open it up to the public, and then we'll bring it back for deliberation. So any public input on the CDBG applications? Seeing that approach, we'll close public comment, bring it back to the council. And I would say, in general, I'm very pleased that our city is putting a strong emphasis and focus on providing ADA accessibility. I know more and more I'm involved with events around the city. We seem to always run out of ADA parking spaces. Seems to be the need for twice as many. And all of those pathways that are ADA accessible, not only are they very much more accessible for wheelchairs, they're very much more accessible for strollers. And it very is much a benefit to the entire family. So I think that's being very proactive, and we've also fared better than other cities on lawsuits on this area of mobility as well. So I think it's been a good thing to do, and we've managed to do so much more with a lot of special grants. I still think of that $500,000 grant, I think, with the Lake Park Zoo, with those pathways. I think staff did an outstanding job. So I commend you on keeping that as a priority. And we'll go ahead with, it looks to me, I was going to make a suggestion too in general. We've always known that there's a great need for the youth activity scholarships, even though we've been concerned about really wanting to fully fund other projects that have applied. We've kind of stayed with that because of the need. I think given the trending down of these funds, we should start looking for alternative ways to raise money for those youth scholarships ourselves, and maybe our own fundraising event, or seeking sponsorships for that, because it is very much needed. It accomplishes much for youth that may not have alternatives, and I'll talk more later under reports when I was on KPRL talking about some of the mental health needs. Just the social network, social support systems we offer are very important. So I'm thinking we need to take that up at some future time. Let's see if we can't come away that we even take that on a little bit bigger, because there'll certainly be need to expand that aspect, and we may need to, I think, with our collective good-thinking council folks we have, we could find a way to increase that funding through another source, because I have a feeling this is only going to get thinner. With that, take it over. Who is going to guide us through, and this should be pretty quick, I would think, on this funding. We have a chart to display. And it seems to me that there's not a lot of options on the public facilities portion. So by
Mr. Mayor, I did have a follow-on question. It's not going to affect this number.
Well, go ahead with your follow-up question.
In regards to that project, if, you know, that's the muffler shop right there is something, of course, I think we'd all hope would be bought and reconfigured into something else. And with the action we see on the other side of the street, you know, leading up to the car stereo shop that Mr. Zappas has purchased and hopes to do things with, if somebody were to buy that property and propose improvements to it that would more or less supersede this public project, or could, I suppose, would we be able to redirect this money?
Well, I believe so. Yeah, we've done that in the past with some projects. More recently, there was the kind of the phase two at Atascadero Lake Park for the pathway, and we're going to do some irrigation work and sodding, okay. And then the mandate from the state came down with water conservation, and right. So we just ended up chipping a lot of that and didn't even put in irrigation. So that money we're able to, actually that was part of the fund balance that we loaned to Morro Bay that we can get back for and repurpose for another project.
All right, thank you. I mean, wishful thinking, but things are starting to happen downtown, so it could happen.
Yes, and that there is a lot of flexibility on projects like that. It does raise the issue I raised when we brought this topic up before. A bigger concern I have is not the fact that someone else might do the improvements needed. It's if we do the improvements that basically take care of an existing business that's a non-conforming use, and then someone else comes along with a conforming use we might rather see, do we have to undo it? And what I mean by that is an example, as you know, they have basically a sloped sidewalk so they can access cars to traffic way all along their frontage. I'm thinking that's very unfortunate because I would much rather see a true sidewalk through there. So the bigger concern I would have, Mr. Burbeau, is we spend the money on basically accommodating an existing unconforming need, and then what happens if a better opportunity comes along? I assume it would be on the property owner to make any changes, but would that kind of grandfather in that there we are with this access? Not the best place to have a sloped sidewalk, so, especially when we're talking about ADA accessibility, which is going to be greater than the 2% side slope.
Mayor O'Malley, you bring up a good point. That property there, the back of the sidewalk currently is at the right-of-way line, and there's a lot of cars just parked right up against that can drive up and over that sidewalk. I actually met with the business owner there last year, about a year ago, before we made that recommendation, just to kind of give them a heads up and kind of see what we can do. We did kind of come up with a conceptual plan that we kind of showed them, and doesn't show that entire slope for the driveway. So we'd work with that property owner to see if there was more of a single point of access where they could drive in and out.
Very
to,
good.
To get into that. So I'm not sure how else we could accommodate both of those needs at the current, I shouldn't say a need, but the desire that he might have to just continue to back in and pull vehicles out that he does, like he does now, with meeting the ADA accessibility requirements, because cross slopes are maximum at 2%, and you can't really get there
right
with what's out there right now.
My concern is the city taking the responsibility for putting something in that does not meet requirements. It's really a property owner's responsibility to make those improvements, and so now we, deep pockets, City of Atascadero, has implemented something that would not meet ADA accessibility, and so my recommendation is I would rather just do it the way it's supposed to be done, accommodate to the best of our ability, might mean a little jockeying of vehicles and maybe using blocking when they need to do something, and at least reducing it to a minimum of non-conforming so that if in the future another business moves in, it's reducing the cost of a changing. So that's just my opinion. Not going to work that into anything. I think we've had this discussion. You know my concerns. And of course, I think if another business did come in and take that over and do it, we could easily move that project right in that same area, because the advantage of that little corner is there's a whole lot of parking right there at the Catholic Church, let alone the Bible Church farther down, that's right next to our downtown. And it's not used during the evenings and during the week as much, so there's lots of potential that, again, sharing parking. So I think us making those improvements is very wise. So I'm just wondering if we do see a few lights, but could we get past the public facilities and assume we're going to fund that with staff's recommendation? I don't think there's any objection to that. So we would should be done with public facilities. And then the only question is going to be down here on the other portions of, okay, youth activities and El Camino Homeless. We're a little short. I will just go to input on what council's preference is. Mayor Pro Tem Fonzie.
Well, we're at 11,167, correct? No, 21,167, excuse me.
Yeah.
Yes, I would recommend that we give the full 10,000 to the Youth Activity Scholarship because this activity keeps kids off the street, out of trouble. We're paying it forward and putting them into activities that will benefit them later on in life as they become good citizens of Atascadero. So I think it's absolutely important to fund that fully, and we are the only source of funding at this point in time. I like your idea, Mayor O'Malley, that we look at other ways to fund this in the future, but at this point in time, I would recommend we give them the full 10,000 and make ECHO the 11,167 to balance it out.
Okay, Councilwoman Mayor Pro Tem Fonzie's made a good argument for hers. I don't know if anyone needs to make an additional argument, especially if they agree with her. Any other council members just agree with Councilwoman or Mayor Pro Tem Fonzie? We just populate your column.
Oh, I agree with that.
Okay, so Councilman Sturdivant, Councilwoman Moreno, same numbers. What about you, Councilmember Burbeau?
I agree, the same numbers.
Same numbers, same numbers from the mayor, so we are done with that item. Is that any comment by council? I think we could entertain a motion then to that effect.
Move approval of the spreadsheet. Move approval of the allocation as indicated.
Second. I have a motion by Councilwoman Moreno, seconded by Mayor Pro Tem Fonzie. Did the city clerk need to tell us something?
Yeah, I just have a question because the way that it's listed, I think on the sheet, if we scroll down to administration and in the staff report talks about the admin for Morro Bay, so do we want to put something in the motion that will go someplace else if that is...
Well, I think the only place that can go is to the capital improvement, so it would go to the city, since we don't have as much as we need anyway. I guess I would add that if we do get anything back from the county fees that are charged for Morro Bay, that it would go to capital improvements.
Motion modified by the maker, agreed to by the second. Clear enough for you, Ms. City Clerk?
Perfect. Thank you.
Thank you for keeping us on track. We have a motion on the floor. Roll call, please.
Councilmember Moreno?
Yes, ma'am.
Councilmember Burbeau?
Yes.
Councilmember Sturdivant?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Fonzie?
Yes.
Mayor O'Malley?
Yes.
Motion passes 5-0.
Thank you. Moving right on to committee reports, I can't wait to hear which staff is going to win tonight on the bet of how quick we can be done. We'll get an update later. Council announcements and reports. Let me try to stick to the routine of first city announcements and reports separate from committee reports. Then we'll go into committee reports. So any general announcements or reports from anyone? No? We'll move on to committee reports. And let's just begin, how about with Councilmember Sturdivant?
No report.
And Councilwoman Moreno?
We have the survey for the co-working space, and so I would like to invite anyone who is interested in co-working to let us know what your needs are. That survey is closing December 15th. It is sort of a long URL on SurveyMonkey, so if you're interested, let me ask, Phil, is that something where if people wanted to get that link, they could contact the Community Development Department to get that?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. So contact Community Development. You could also contact the Chamber, the EVC, email me for that matter, and we can get you that link, but the deadline is Friday to get the input. So thank you.
Well, before we move on, for the 99% of the world that doesn't understand what you just said, let me say that you are our representative on the Economic Vitality Corporation, very much involved in economic development, and that organization, as well as the Chamber of Commerce and some private business leaders, are on a committee that you are really taking the lead on for us on the council, which I very much appreciate, looking at how you might co-locate, and there's a little bit more to that. Could you describe what that might be?
Yeah, thank you. That probably makes sense to just, instead of just throw out, hey, there's a survey. So yes, the Chamber of Commerce, the EVC, the City of Atascadero, and the Atascadero Economic Foundation, and some community stakeholders are getting together to look at the needs in Atascadero and even just North County overall for a co-working and possibly even a business startup type, you know, incubator space, which may be more in the future. But we have something similar in San Luis, which is the Hot House. So we're looking here in Atascadero because we know a lot of people who live here work elsewhere, and people would like to work here where they live so we can reduce some vehicle miles traveled, keep people here, and keep the dollars here. So we've had well over 100 responses on the survey so far. So if you are in North County and a co-working or business startup type space is of interest to you or someone you know, would really appreciate your feedback on the survey so we know what your needs are and what we're looking out there in the community for.
Very good. And thank you for your work on that area.
Sure thing.
Any other reports? Councilmember Burbeau.
No report.
Mayor Pro Tem Fonzi.
Yes, just a quick report on the Air Pollution Control District. I don't know whether all of you are getting the alerts about the air quality, but because of the fire down in Ventura County and heading towards Santa Barbara, we've had a lot of smoke in the area, and we've been told to let our constituents know to not exercise as much outside, in particular if you have respiratory or heart problems or if your children are very young. So I just wanted to get that out there.
Thank you. Anything else? I have a few things. So, as you may well know, I've had a topic ongoing with the countywide mayor's group. On first, we dealt with the animal shelter issue, and I did attend the Board of Supervisors meeting where they gave some feedback from our first committee meeting, worked on with Council Mayor Pro Tem Fonzi and myself, as well as the Mayor and Mayor Pro Tem of Paso, and Debbie Arnold, he wasn't there, our board chairman, John Pashong, but his legislative assistant was there along with the new city county administrator. And I think folks were pretty receptive. They know we've got to focus on reducing costs and are working away on some of the alternatives we proposed, which were really very similar to the proposals their own staff had proposed many months ago. So I'm optimistic we'll see what it's really in their court to come back with something for us to consider. I'll leave it with that. The next project that really was something I had wanted the mayors to look at, just feedback from all of our police chiefs, was the issue of mental health services countywide, and I was on KPRL for an hour today talking a lot about that. I won't go into a lot of detail, but I do think I was very pleased that, which doesn't happen very often, but all seven mayors did agree with all seven police chiefs that we need to do better on the area of emergency mental health services, what we refer to as 5150, a danger to self or others. There's really not enough triage or assessment early on, when often it's law enforcement makes the first contact. It used to be more mobile crisis services, used to be more of a point that there could be a handoff made to an appropriate facility. As those resources have shrunk, more has fallen on our own police officers to be tied up for 2 to 8 hours, really not quite having a place to triage folks in crisis. So I think the sheriff has a good proposal. I think the County Board of Supervisors is seriously considering that, and we just wanted to lend our support at the board meeting. Chief Haley was much more eloquent than I have to admit, but we did both present And I was joined by Mayor Heidi Harmon, who also feels strongly about supporting mental health services. So we made a great conservative, progressive team on that. It was unanimous. Another thing I wanted to mention up as far as San Luis Council of Governments, I'm on a ad hoc committee looking at regional transportation issues specifically for seniors. And right now our committee, actually I was mistaken, I'm on an executive committee with Lynn Compton, and I mentioned her name. Actually the subcommittee is Debbie Arnold and I and another board member. There's 12 members on the SLOCOG board, but we're working primarily on increasing, expanding services for seniors. And so I did want to reference that a little bit. We know in our own city, checking with staff, that there are unmet needs. Seniors needing to get medical appointments and connectivity. And there's multiple service providers in this area. We want to kind of see if we can do better at coordinating. We may be looking at different service options. And so I did want to mention there will be countywide meetings with seniors organizations. There's going to be three in the North County. I mentioned on KPRL. I want to just mention here for the public on January 9th, 10 o'clock, our own Atascadero Senior Center right here on East Mall. You'll get coffee, pastries, and fruit if you join in for that discussion. We'll kind of want to understand some of the needs. Now, others are faring a little better. They get a whole meal up there in Templeton and Paso Robles, but Templeton will be having a meeting in January 11th at 1:30, and also then at 3 o'clock up in Paso. But specifically here in our town, January 9th, 10 o'clock right down here. It's aimed at seniors and the Senior Center folks that usually, I've spoken with the group before, you know, you might get 15 folks showing up, but if you have an interest or have family that has interest in that, certainly you could get in touch with me through the city, or that's a meeting opportunity to give some input. We really want to identify needs to kind of factor that in if we can take a look at improving services. I think that is plenty enough for my committee report. Does staff have anything to add? Well, we do have one very important announcement. Mayor Pro Tem Fonzie, I think, is going to... Do y'all remember the right answer? Okay. Well, then...
I got volunteered here, but from the Atascadero City Council and all the employees, we'd like to state to the public in this room and the public listening on TV a very Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
This is our last meeting before Christmas.
Merry Christmas. Happy New Year.
And to all a
good night.
Happy
New Year, too.
And to all a good night. Yes.
All of the above. Thank you. We'll adjourn the meeting. Unless Councilmember Burbeau would like to sing a song.